Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Penny Holloway and I'm the chair of the Camden Local Planning Panel. And I'd like to welcome everybody to this virtual meeting of the Local Planning Panel. Firstly, on behalf of Camden Council, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land on which we meet and pay our respects to elders both past and present. So the panel this afternoon consists of myself, as I said, Penny Holloway as the independent chair, Mary Lynn Taylor and Michael File as independent expert members, and community representative Debbie Dewberry. This meeting is slightly unusual because it's being held by public video conference or teleconference due to COVID-19 coronavirus precautions. But while the format of the meeting is obviously different, I'd like to assure all members of the public who are participating that the meeting is quite legitimate and the panel is able to determine the development applications before it. In accordance with Camden's local planning panel operational procedures, this meeting is being audio recorded by council staff for publication on council's website. No other recording is permitted without the prior approval of the panel. Just so you all know, the panel operates in terms of a code of conduct and operating guidelines, and these are available on council's website. And general declarations of interest have been provided before the meeting by all panel members. Today's meeting will be to consider the determination of two development applications for construction of a function centre at 23 Harrington Street, Elderslie, and construction of a shed at 56 Delanes, Kirkham. Just in relation to these two matters, does any member of the planning panel have a specific declaration of interest to make in relation to any of the matters today?
No,
Debbie Dewberry, I don't.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. So just in relation to the two matters before us today, the panel members have acquainted themselves with each of the sites, either in physical way or virtually, and also been provided with an assessment report prepared by council staff. And council staff have briefed the panel members on the key issues that the applications raise. The panel has also been provided with copies of all of the submissions that people have submitted in response to the public declaration of the DA. So we have seen all of those copies. Now, how we're just going to operate this afternoon, we'll first hear from members of the public who've registered to speak, and then the applicant. And if there's a need to ask a council officer anything, then we can hear from the council officer. So the practice is to allow each speaker 3 minutes to present, including speakers representing community groups or individuals and the applicant. I would ask all speakers to be considerate and respectful of each other. And I know you're all online, I just request that no one interjects while another person is speaking. Just so you all know, also panel members may ask questions of speakers to clarify their understanding of what's being said. Now, after hearing from all of the speakers, the panel will adjourn and progress to debating the matters and making its determination. And the panel decision and audio recording will be made available on Council's website as soon as possible and usually within 48 hours of this meeting. Okay, so I'll now move to the first item on the agenda, which is the construction of a function centre at 23 Harrington Street, Elderslie. And today we have three people registered to address the panel. So I'd now like to invite the first speaker registered, which is Ms. Glenda. I'm not sure whether it's David or Davis. You can correct me when you come online as to what your surname is. But now I ask you to address the panel, please.
Thank you. It's Glenda Davis, G-A-V-I-S.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's right. I speak on behalf of Camden Residents Action Group. This proposed function centre is in Elderslie, which is renowned as a low-rise, leafy residential area, has a distinct sense of place that complements Camden's agricultural setting and history and its conservation area. Unfortunately, what is proposed is not of human scale and is not consistent, in our opinion, with the locality. The site zoning of private recreation does permit a function centre with consent after consideration of all relevant planning provisions if it is a compatible recreational facility. Unfortunately, the site only has access from Harrington Street and is in within an island surrounded by land zoned low density residential and public recreation. The objectives of the adjoining low density residential zone include providing facilities that support the well-being of the community and meet the day-to-day needs of residents. Unfortunately, a function centre is not a day-to-day need and it does not support the well-being of residents for it to be located in their backyard. Narrow Harrington Street is on a local bus route and already reportedly operates to capacity, with not only the comings and goings of its many residents, but also activity associated with two preschools, Eldersley High School, sports fields, BMX club and water park. Residents rightly insist that the infrastructure capacity of Harrington Street cannot accommodate a development of this scale. As well as traffic and road infrastructure impacts, the potential for other detrimental impacts on residential amenity is addressed as a major issue within the agenda report. The potential for noise and antisocial behaviour is preempted by the consent conditions for ongoing use. For example, condition 4, extension of hours to midnight on Friday and Saturday is a reviewable condition, although one would think that earlier closing for such a business would be uneconomic. And condition 7 requires that patrons must be controlled at all times. One wonders how this is possible. Condition 13 actually covers acoustic requirements and requires that all windows on 3 facades be kept closed, that no patrons are allowed in the external areas, including the balcony and alfresco area after 10 p.m, that the maximum number of patrons on the balcony is to be limited to 50, that amplified music is only permitted in the centre's dining room. Condition 14 also includes a warning that the function centre must not be used as an entertainment centre. We do not agree that the proposed conditions of consent can guarantee residential amenity into the future. Compliance is likely to be lost in time. There is no guarantee that a future operator will necessarily observe them. There is no guarantee that an operator will not make application to extend operating hours and relax conditions. The only recourse for residents is to make complaints when their amenity is impacted and to spend their time making objections. The responsibility in this situation becomes that of the residents who never wanted to live with a function centre in the first place. This is an unfair imposition on a residential area. Also, we do not accept the flood evacuation plan as practical and responsible from a social and resourcing perspective. High hazard flood areas should not be permitted to accommodate so many people and cars that require evacuation at the same time as the general community is requiring help. We also take this opportunity make the comment that we do not agree that the question of compliance with disability access legislation should be deferred to the construction certificate stage. We believe, particularly with the new build, that a formal disability assessment is integral to DA assessment and should be available for public comment. Feedback to us is that Eldersley residents have no doubt that this development will detrimentally impact on their livability and amenity, and especially for those living in Harrington Street, their right to quiet enjoyment of their properties. We therefore request that the DA be denied. Thank you.
Thanks very much for those comments. I'm now just going to ask members of the planning panel if you have any questions of Ms. Davis.
No, I don't.
No?
No.
I just had one question, Davis, and that's, I'm sure you're aware that there is already a consent on the site for a function centre and restaurant?
And yes, I think that was the hotel as well, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that actually yeah. still...
goes back to 2002, yeah.
Yes, but it has been commenced, so in fact it's still a valid consent for the site, so... Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
It's not... That would be grandfathered because it's not currently permissible under the zoning, is my understanding.
No, it's actually a valid consent. So
yeah.
someone
yeah.
could actually start.
That's right. It would be grandfathered, yeah.
Anyway, no further questions from the planning panel? No. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Davis. Thanks for that. I'll
now thank you.
To the next speaker.
Okay, thank you.
I'd now like to call on David Nethercote. You have the floor, David.
Thank you.
Please commence.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to address this panel. In recent years, Camden has been the target of a number of development proposals of a striking kind. Though they come in many shapes and sizes, they have at least this in common: they are singularly unsuitable for this historic environment. This particular quality has understandably attracted both criticism and opposition. The current proposal development at 23 Harrington Street finds itself in the company of these undesirable designs. It is unsuited to its surrounds, and as a function centre, it is socially at odds with its local environment. The design offered makes no attempt to be visually sympathetic to its neighbours. In fact, it seems to almost willfully be disruptive and oppositional. As a gross overdevelopment of attractive suburban land, it imposes itself on the whole property with no curtilage on three sides. This is in complete contrast to the street style, where low-level residential housing set back from the road allows a sense of uncluttered space. In previous iterations of this development, size was highlighted as a particular problem. The current design makes no attempt to address this issue. Now, this may indicate a negligent or careless approach, or it may indicate something close to contempt. Congruent with this problem is its purpose as a function centre. By day, Harrington Street has both passing vehicular and foot traffic. Many young people access the school and playing fields, as well as the new water park at Curry Reserve, with spillover parking in Harrington beyond the function centre. The movement of heavy trucks and other delivery vehicles by day naturally creates concerns about safety in a street not designed for commercial traffic. By night, these concerns will only be exacerbated. Its nocturnal rhythms will be more or less the opposite of its neighbours. Where most of the street is settling down to rest, by contrast, events at the function centre will be just starting. That will mean party noises, groups of happy, loud patrons in celebratory mode, and traffic, quite a bit of traffic, arriving and departing at irregular intervals. Harrington Street itself is already challenged with more traffic than it is happy with. It is a 3, not 4-lane carriageway. To pass a parked car means that one has to drive in the middle of the road. If two cars are travelling from opposite ends, one has to display some courtesy. This is not a street for heavy traffic, nor one used to possibly exuberant or inattentive patrons late at night. The design, characterised by a forbidding grimness, rather out of keeping with its assigned role as a place of entertainment, has reminded some of a crematorium. Recognising that we are in the midst of a pandemic, such a design may even seem appropriate. However, we are assured that we will emerge from the ubiquitous virus at some stage, but this building, should it be approved, will afford residents no such relief. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Nethercote. Could you just explain one thing I forgot to ask you? So where are you from? Could you?
Well, we're in MacArthur Road,
okay.
Just around the corner from Harrington.
Okay, thank you. Just good to know.
Where yeah, you... sure.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask panel members if they have any questions. Any panel member like to ask?
No, thank you.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
No questions.
Okay, thanks very much, Ms. Nethercutt, for your input today.
Good.
I'll now move on to the next speaker, who is Mr. George Sabe.
Thank you, Glenda.
So if you could explain who you are and where you're from, and then you speak to the panel.
Yeah. So my name's George Sabe. I'm the development manager for Bespoke Development. I represent the owners and have been across the development and its progression for over 2.5 years now. I'd just like to thank everyone for the opportunity for me to speak about our development proposal. We support the recommendations put forward by council officers. The multi-use function centre is going to provide a growing community with a range of social and economic benefits. With ongoing growth to the region, facilities such as the function centre are needed to service the local community, as well as bring the public to the Camden region and to showcase its beauty. It's for the community to use and enjoy, with the optionality of hosting smaller events and larging events using the operable wall in the function space. Our development complies with the key planning instruments, and through consultation with our stakeholders, we have captured and made significant changes to our design to ensure that consideration has been given to the key issues that have been raised during public consultation. But I will note that all issues raised by Ms. Davis and Mr. Nethercutt have been addressed through design development and consultation with council. We've addressed appearance with a natural palette of materials using face brickwork and architectural detailing for depth in the facade and less bulk, dense landscaping. We've tied vertical architectural elements through big pillars and landscape screening with consideration to the flood-resisting construction requirements. With regard to parking, we've provided excess parking to the 510 patrons and under the council's DCP, and we've controlled vehicles exiting the development to be in the direction away from the residential neighbours. Noise will be controlled through the recommended building and management controls. We also have the appropriate acoustic reports that have been put in place so that the construction of the development can control noise levels. Now, with regard to the scale of the development, I must note that it has been significantly reduced to what's already been approved in the development. We've also ensured that the architectural elements were improved from our original submission to our latest one, so that we did take consideration to the surrounding areas, and we believe that our function centre does comply with the relevant planning instruments and incorporates feedback from both the community and council officers. And on this basis, we're seeking support to approve the application so that we can start construction. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Sorry, I was muted. Thanks very much, Mr. Saeed. Are there any questions from the planning panel of the applicant?
I had a question, Mary Lynn Taylor.
Go ahead.
Mr. Saeed, have you seen the council's conditions of consent and are they satisfactory to you?
Yes, we have reviewed them and we do agree with the conditions of consent fully.
Okay, nothing further from you, Mary Lynn.
No, thank you very much.
Debbie Tubery, do you have anything?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Mike? Did you want to...
I don't have any issues, except for maybe just a point of clarification. You said, sir, that your existing approval is larger than the current one?
Yeah, that's correct. If you actually refer to the DA plans, there's a blue outline of the previous approval. We've significantly reduced the scale of the development.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any more questions. Thanks.
This is Penny Holloway again. Just, Mr. Saib, when you say you've reduced the scale, is that the height or just the footprint?
The height and the footprint in some areas, but yeah, both actually. So we had both a hotel and a function centre previously approved. The height has been kept to a minimum on site. It's just been constructed so that it's, you know, with the flood level. So it's really only a one primary level of use, and it's car parking below. And what we've had to do is architecturally tie the building to the ground with dense landscaping, brick pillars and so forth, but we had to consider flood resisting elements. But it has been reduced quite significantly in scale.
Okay, thank you. There are no further speakers registered to speak. Does any council officer want to say anything in relation to the application? You don't have to, but I'm just giving you the opportunity.
No, I think there's nothing to add other than what's already in the assessment report. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks very much, Mr. Ergen. All right, so just for the members of the public, we've now heard from the various people who registered to speak, and thank you very much for your input. The planning panel will now take all of your input and comments on board. We won't be making the determination immediately. We will be adjourning after we've heard from the next lot of speakers to consider the application, all of your input, all of the submissions made, and then we'll make a determination, which, as I said, will be on the council's website within 48 hours. So on that note, I'd now like to move to the next item on the agenda, which is the DA in relation to the construction of a shed at 56 The Lanes in Kirkham. And we have five people registered to speak in relation to this matter. Just reminding everybody who speaks that you have 3 minutes. So if you'd like to stick to that timeline, that would be great. And I'll call the first person who's listed to speak, who is Mr. Dave Pierce.
Yeah, good afternoon, panel. How are you?
If you could explain, you know, who you are and where you're from.
Sure. My name is Dave Pierce. I'm from Lot 27. I'm a resident of the Lanes. I'm also a member of the executive committee, as sitting as the current treasurer. So this is in a negative for the construction for the proposed garage, single car garage, that's pretty much in for development at the moment, or DA consent. I'll keep it very brief. The outline of the consideration is, this is the fourth attempt that the lot has made an attempt at constructing a development or a garage in the rear of the property. At this point in time, the overview is, you've been given four DA consents showing three of which has a large garage, dual garage in the backyard. The fourth, which is current, shows a single car garage in the rear of the property. My only objection, and my objection has been, that because it's been set within the 15 metre setback of the semi-rural guidelines of the Lanes estate, guidelines that we've all been adhered to over the duration of our ownership in this estate, is that willingly this DA, or the attempts at the four DAs by this lot, has engaged and willingly made many attempts to try and get this development underway. So my version of events and my version towards a negative towards is that because it's now, even though it's now 10.5 metres from the rear of the boundary, it still doesn't make this applicant a positive or an applicant where we as the community, as the as residents to the community can see that this can go ahead. It's been previously designed with only 3 metres, then 2 metres. Now it's been done with 10 metres. It still basically puts it in the 15-metre zone. Now, to add to that, and I don't want to confuse anybody listening to this, there is a structure in the backyard, which is a gazebo, which is still in the 15-metre zone. Now, going on history, and I don't want to go back too far, but this was never, ever given to the executive committee or the standing committee at the time. So if I just address, if the panel can just go back to the planning document, it shows a rear building of line, including auxiliary development. That auxiliary development on lot 56 was never approved. It shows a red highlighted line going around this. Now, if you have a look at every other development, it shows for a pool, it shows for gazebos or a garden netting. You can show that lot 55 even has a setback of 15 metres. So the example of this DA has pretty much endorsed the fact that it is not adhered to the 15 metre setback within the guidelines. Now, I know there is a planning and there is a there's a separate ruling that we're not completely aware of, but and that the Camden Council are assessing. It was also a tool, or the tool that the planning officer has addressed most of the items of the 13 applicants in negative of this going through. Sorry, which is 13 applicants.
Mr. Pitts, sorry, your 3 minutes is up. Do you want to summarise? And
that was pretty quick. My apologies. All I would like to say is, in consideration for the planning, that you review the entire estate on its 15 metre merits and its setback, and the fact that the semi-rural 15 metre setback is an integral part of our development and our lifestyle. It would be an engagement of something that would start a very negative look towards the lanes outlook. That's it.
Okay, thanks very much. Are there any questions of Mr. Pierce from the panel members?
Mary Lynn Taylor.
No. Thank you.
Mary Lynn?
No, thanks.
Oh, okay. Debbie?
No.
Mike?
No questions.
Okay. I don't have any questions either, Mr. Pierce. So we'll move now on to our next speaker who's listed there, who is Mr. Peter Thomas. If you'd like to say who you are and where you're from. Is Mr. Thomas there?
Absolutely, yep.
There you go.
Thank you. Yep, hi there. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity to briefly address the panel. I'm a lot owner within the Lanes Estate and chairman of the executive committee until 2019. I'm firmly against the proposed Lot 56 development for the reasons that myself and others have clearly expressed in our various submissions. I'm not going to repeat those concerns this afternoon. However, I do expect the panel to respect them and not dismiss them, as seems to have been the case in the agenda document. What I would like to address are the matters of process and of reasonable expectation of council in dealing with this matter. So firstly, the matter of process. It's highly perplexing to me, and no doubt to others, I'm sure yourselves, how we've even come to the point of the Camden Local Planning Panel having to consider a DA for a garden shed. The fact that we're discussing this matter in this forum suggests the development is highly contentious. The reason we're here is twofold. Firstly, the law of the estate, under the facade of ignorance, has shown complete disregard for the land's bylaws and housing design guidelines that have served the estate well for several decades. The Executive Committee for the Estate takes its obligations to uphold these bylaws and the design guidelines very seriously and has rejected a Lot 56 development on several past occasions. And now the charade continues by trying to strong-arm the development through this process. Then, 20% of the lane's lot owners formally objected to the Lot 56 development, and no doubt there are other silent objectors. The planning panel should not ignore the weight of concern in relation to this development. And I'm sure if 20% of residents from a larger estate formally lodged objections, there would be absolutely no consideration given to any such development. Another matter in relation to process is Council's consideration of the Lanes Housing Design Guidelines. On one hand, Council state the Lanes Housing Design Guidelines are not a consideration for DA approval. However, on the other hand, Council seem to consider the guidelines and argue that Lot 56 development is a, quote, reasonable variation of those guidelines. So by definition, therefore, Council has considered housing design guidelines in their determination, and as such must be considered as they are written. And with respect, Council actually has no authority to determine what is a reasonable variation of the housing design guidelines. That's a matter solely for the lane's residents, with variation only possible by unanimous vote at an AGM quorum. So for now, the assessment is actually a simple one. Either development is compliant with the guidelines as they are currently written, or it is not. And this development very clearly is not, and it's on this basis that the Executive Committee for the Estate has rejected the planned development on several past occasions. And whilst ever the development continues to breach,
Thomas, your time is, the 3 minutes up. Would you like to summarise your final points?
Absolutely. I'll just say it's actually the obligation of the Executive Committee to continue to deny the development whilst it continues to breach the guidelines. And what I'd like to say, just in terms of reasonable expectation of council, I'll just make the point that you can't dismiss this. Well, it's not reasonable to dismiss the concerns being a property law matter as opposed to a planning law matter. So what that effectively does is deflect the concerns towards the community itself, moving responsibility of the matter to a volunteer committee of residents, which will lead to a potentially divisive and costly enforcement undertaking for this community. So on behalf of concerned residents, I really implore the planning panel as the higher authority to reject the proposed development and save this community from incurring costs and any further angst. Many thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Mr. Thomas. Does anybody have a question of?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Mike, no. Mr. Thomas, I just had one question. From what I can understand, regardless of whatever the outcome is from today, the Executive Committee still has the opportunity to make a decision about this this matter?
Actually, indeed, and I think that's stated in the agenda document, but what I would like to ask is, will that be a condition of DA approval?
Sorry, I don't understand your question.
Well, would it be a condition of DA approval that the Executive Committee for the Estate must give the approval for the development before it goes ahead?
I don't think that would be a condition, but I'm just asking whether or not, as well, you're the past president, it's your understanding that the Executive Committee has still a role in making a decision.
It should have, absolutely.
That's all I wanted to say. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. I'll now move on to the next speaker, who is Mr. Jeremy Swan.
Thank you, Chair.
If you could just explain where you're from.
Yes, sure. Sure. My name's Jeremy Swan, and I'm a town planning consultant assisting the applicant in respect of this DA. And I've been assisting him through this DA process. So we have worked with council to resolve council's concerns, which have primarily resolved in a development that can be summarised on page 115 of the agenda, which is that it is now a what I describe as a small shed, which is approximately 18 square metres in size, has an overall height of 2.5 metres and sits neatly behind an established rear building line, which is picked up in council officer's report on page 116. As far as, I guess, the property, it's an interesting one because the land is zoned rural. The land is 1,000 square metres. It is the smallest lot within the estate. The double garage that is currently sitting on the site meets the minimum requirements but doesn't provide any facilities for lawnmowers or any of those sort of materials that are important and needed to maintain properties like this in the rural zone. So the shed is purposes only for residential purposes. And in responding to the first speaker, which was Mr. Pierce, it's not a garage. It's a domestic sized shed, which will hold really domestic style goods and materials. I note there's a number of conditions in place around the use of that space. It will not it's not large enough to house any vehicle, and nor is it the intention of my client to even ever use it for that purpose. As far as the non-compliance with council's DCP, council's DCP, because it's in a rural zone, requires a 5 metre setback to the side boundary. The side boundary setback proposed is consistent with the guidelines and consistent with the existing house. And the structure itself sits well back from the rear boundary and, in my view, will have little to no impact when read in conjunction with conditions of consent, which include screen landscaping. The speakers that have spoken against the proposal, in my view, the issues raised have been adequately addressed in council officer report, and I support the recommendation and I support all the conditions of consent that council's imposed, and I'm here for any questions.
Thanks very much, Mr. Swan. Are there any questions from the panel members?
No question.
No, thank you.
No question.
No, there aren't any questions. So thanks very much, Mr. Swan. I'll now move to the next speaker, who is Dr. Agar.
Hello.
Explain who you are and where you're from, just for the record.
Hi. Yes, my name's Bruce Ager. I'm the resident of Lot 56, The Lanes, Kirkham. And today I'm here to ask for your consideration for the construction of the shed at number 56, The Lanes. In a moment, you'll hear that there have been a number of sheds in the pools and gazebos in the semi-rural zone in The Lanes, and they haven't had any objection to their build. Some houses also encroach into this zone as well. These structures were built without any opposition from any of the lot owners of the community estate. The pools themselves have had council DA approval, and as a general description, this estate has blocks ranging from 1,200 to 2,000 square metres, and it's a RU1 property, but essentially the houses look like they're, you know, a semi-rural residential rather than a rural estate. Our place has a two-car garage at the front, which is needed to house our cars. Recently, there's been vandalism of cars have been parked in the driveways of one of the properties. So we need to use the garage at the front as a security thing. That would leave us no space to put any of the other things that we want to put in the shed. Now, the rear of the shed, the rear of the estate had a shed that was 2.5 by 2.5 metres in the northeast corner of the, the southeast corner of the property. That was there prior to being knocked down in 2019. There wasn't a problem or objection of the erection of that shed. Now, we're proposing a shed that's about 8 metres further in towards the house from that shed. The shed that was originally there was 2.5 by 2.5, and it was too small to put the gardening equipment and sporting equipment that I use. I'm a coach from local, state and national level, and also I'm currently active master sports person, so I need treadmill and an exercise bike and a rower to keep fit as well. The original proposal was for a 6 by 8 metre shed, of which I was preparing, and then subsequently that's been downsized to 6 by 6, and now we've got a 6 by 3 shed. Unfortunately, that won't allow me to put all my exercise equipment, so we're going to have to house that on the veranda whilst all the mowing and ladders and wheelbarrows and that go into the shed when it's proposed. So just going through the photographs that I've sent you, the first one was an aerial photograph from 2000.
Sorry, your 3 minutes is up, so maybe you could just...
Oh, sorry, okay. Sorry, no, that's fine. So in short, what I'm saying is that there's multiple sheds. The one shed that I was trying to emulate with my shed was the one at number 44, one same shape, size and things like that. That's 5 metres from the boundary. Ours is 10 metres from the boundary. And, you know, I just need it for, you know, domestic storage. And it would be a godsend if we could put all our stuff rather than what's visible in some of the driveways of stuff that they can't put away in a shed. So
thanks.
There's a document there for you to read. Thanks very much for your time and consideration today.
Yes, thanks very much, Mr. Ager. We have received that document, so we've had the opportunity to look at it with the various photos. Are there any questions of Dr. Ager?
No, thank you.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
No. Okay, thanks very much, Dr. Ager, for that. And I will now move on.
Thank you, everyone.
The next speaker, who is Ms. Sylvia O'Neill. If you could just explain who you are and where you come from.
Hi, everyone. My name's Sylvia O'Neill. I live at number 55, which is the property adjacent to number 56 for the proposal. I'd actually have no problems with or objections with the garden shed. I'm happy for the shed to be approved. For a number of reasons. Our boundary fence is well hedged and the garden shed will be well hidden, but ultimately I can see their perspective in terms of the need to put a garden shed to store all those lawnmowers, all those things. I have other neighbours which don't utilise a garden shed, and there's all this stuff all around the yard. And definitely from a visual perspective, I know what I would rather prefer, being all hidden away and everything like that. I don't have a problem with the size of the shed, purely because I'm looking at precedents, what's happened in the lane. In my proposal, I put a lot of examples of other buildings, other sheds, houses extending into that semi-rural zone. And saying all that, you know, there was never any objections that I'm aware of. So I don't understand why this is causing so much grief, purely because of the fact that you know, there is other shed, other outbuildings, other sheds, other houses are in this semi-rural zone. I spoke about the storage as opposed to others, and all I just want is consistency amongst the residents of the lane. As I said, there's been precedents that's been set, and I would like to see the same thing happening here with lot number 56. So I haven't gone to my 3 minutes, but I just want to reiterate that I just want consistency. I don't have a problem with it Ultimately, I'd rather things stored in a shed and spread out over the yard.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, you just spoke for 2 minutes, so you didn't use all your time. Has any member of the panel a question of Ms O'Neill?
Yes, I have a question, Marilyn Taylor.
Go ahead.
Ms O'Neill, I think it was it?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
Ms O'Neill, would it be correct to say that you are the person closest to the shed?
Yeah, I'm the actually only neighbour that actually adjoins this property. On the other side, there's community land with no adjoining neighbour. At the rear of the property, there's also community land and no neighbours behind. So I'm actually just physically the only neighbour adjoining number 56.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no other questions, I don't think, from the panel. And I don't have a question either. So thanks very much, Ms O'Neill.
No problem.
We don't have any more speakers registered to speak. So at this time, I just want to know if the council officer wants to make any comment or address any issues raised. As I said, you don't have to, but it's just an opportunity.
Nothing further. I think it's covered in the report. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so just to let all of those people, members of the public who are on the line know, we've now heard in relation to both of the matters before us today from various people who registered to speak. And I know there are a number of other people on the line also listening to the meeting and to the presentations. But now the panel has heard from everybody, we are going to move into our session for deliberating on the matter and making a decision. We will take on board all of the input from all of the speakers, both today and also any written submissions that have, which we've seen, all of them. And also just to remind everybody that after the panel has made its determination, the outcomes of the determinations and also the audio recording will be available on Council's website within 48 hours. So I'd like to thank you all very much, members of the public, for your input, and we'll now move to our determination meeting. Thank you very much.